Hello, and you know what that music means? It means it's time for the next segment of the Spooksville podcast, Common Scary. It's a very special episode today. There are only three left in the season, and I have four special guests today. Here's our first special guest.
I'm Katie Douglas. I play Sally Wilcox.
I'm Nick Percha. I play Watch Waverly.
My name is Ernie Altbacker. I'm one of the writers on the show.
And I'm Tink. I'm the production designer for the show.
Woo! Oh, what a group. If there's so much talent in this room, if we were in the room together. So last week we congratulated Nick because he had just been nominated for an acting award. And this week we get to congratulate Katie for also being nominated for an Emmy, a Daytime Emmy Award for her acting. Yay!
Yeah. Congratulations, Katie.
Thanks.
By the way, Tink also was nominated for production design. Everyone deservedly so. And he's going to tell us about making the show so incredibly beautiful and spooky on about $1.50 an episode. And you guys should all know that Ernie Altbacker is a very successful writer. He's the author of the Shark Wars sixology of books. A sixology, I don't think, is actually a word. But they're excellent, and you should read them. We have worked together for many years. We met on the first day of graduate school and have been begrudging friends ever since.
I'm hanging on to his coattails as tight as I can.
This is your first podcast, what you need to do is cue up this episode of Spooksville. This one is called The Maze. And I'm sure you've just watched it already and are blown away. You may be weeping still, but you were watching it again to hear all the brilliant things we have to say about it. And that's going to start right now as soon as my helper presses play now. So at home you should see that screen that says it's TV PG and some of the scenes may be too scary.
Because they are.
Although my daughter Delilah didn't bother her. Okay, so... okay, so this is the recap. We're talking about the Bigfoot episode.
Yeah.
Just a normal walk through Spooksville.
Tink, where was this shot? Do you know?
This was shot in one of our towns. This was in Duncan, where we were sort of headquartered. And just about one street of that place is part of Spooksville.
Are all these people extras? Do you have to was everything just kind of shot on the fly?
Mm-hmm. These are all extras.
Yeah, a mix actually. The majority of them were extras, and but there were we couldn't really block up so many of the streets, so a lot of the people were.
There was an occasional people walking by every once in a while.
These are beautiful spots running through these buildings. These are really cool. And by the way, I could save it to the end, but just to get it off my chest so I don't forget, Frank Turner plays the mayor of Springville in this, and I think he's in. I mean, maybe the fourth shot of the pilot, and he is a presence, kind of whether he's seen or unseen throughout the whole thing. And it was great to have an episode that really showcased him, and I think this one does a great job of that.
I agree. It's a really beautiful story.
And he earlier episodes he plays it so comedically, and this one has comedy and you know tragedy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, when's your big award show?
Ooh, the end of May, like May 30th or 31st or something.
You excited?
Oh, I'm super super excited. I get to rent a tux and everything, so I got to go get.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I know.
I forgot. So I should mention that Kian is in rehearsal today, so he couldn't join us on the podcast. But he is paying his dues because tomorrow he and Morgan and I are going to the Young Artist Awards at the Sportsman's Lounge in Studio City, and it should be fun. I don't know. It might be fun. We'll see.
Yeah.
And Katie, do you know when the Emmys are?
I think it's in August.
That's pretty exciting. Are you going to get all dolled up?
Ugh, I guess so. I have to wear a dress. I just come in overalls.
We had, Ernie and I wrote this together very quickly, but we had a bunch of ideas that kind of strung together neatly, and some of them, oh, that stunt guy's awesome. I don't know where they found, you know, an old man who could do these things. Is he in a wig?
He's a young guy, just hair and makeup department. Don't put him in a beard and in the hair and look like the mayor.
A hair.
Yeah.
Well, hats off. That was pretty seamless.
Mm-hmm. That scene, I actually, like, sprained my ankle.
Oh, yeah.
Is this an ankle spraining scene? I'm so sorry.
This is the ankle spraining scene.
This was dying. There we go. That's real.
Yep.
Oh, you're really tired? I guess this is a long day of running for you guys.
Yeah, we have to note that this whole episode is just us sprinting all around town. Not my favorite. Exercising is not my favorite thing in the world to do, so.
Yes, but you're not in platform sneakers like Kate.
This is true.
This is classic. I love this.
So for new fans of the show, as soon as we meet the mayor early on, I think in episode 3 or 4, we established that he's obsessed with pie, and the pie came back. Oh my gosh, that's such a cute shot. I don't know if Frank ever did any like kind of clown school, but this whole sequence feels like. It's like wonderful, little pantomime, you know. It's like a real circus clown thing where he's got his utensils.
Like,
yeah.
And the way he looks around a little bit surreptitiously, that's wonderful.
And his Jethro Bodine rope belt from Beverly Hillbillies. That's Rebecca, the costumer. He just looks great. So, Ernie, do you remember breaking the story with me?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this was a really fun one to break. We really didn't know how it was going to come out. It's really a tink-heavy episode, for lack of better description, because I'm like, well, if the box hallways and stuff don't come out right, if they don't look like something, oh boy, this. Like,
yeah, no, it was. That's very true.
You know, like no matter how great the kids are, if they're just in a straight wooden, you know, cardboard box, it's just going to be not as good as we'd like it to. But it turned out just fantastic.
Mm. It really did.
It was I remember the origin of sort of the aesthetic for his house when we first did it in the earlier episode. And I love the suspended disbelief of going into this bigger thing, but it's just all sort of collected elements and really playing up on that. And then doing that in the hallway, it's so much fun to make. And everything that you see through the episode are components that we could use over and over again and scale in different ways so they look larger, shorter, smaller, whatever. And I had these wonderful dressers in our set decorating crew that just had so much fun with all the details, and it was great. I really loved watching it.
Yeah.
Where do you guys get those props from? Like all those old bicycles and lanterns and stuff?
They just find those in junk shops and sort of looking around. And because Vancouver Island's not really a production center, there's not a lot of prop houses to rent. So a lot of that stuff are really found in just normally, you know, like Craigslist and all that stuff. And it's actually good because you get things with that are pretty authentic and you haven't seen them on other shows. So,
yeah.
Executive producer Jane Starts told me she found 22 lawn gnomes like 2 weeks before you started shooting the gnomes episode, just yard sailing.
Yes, I was at, I was either mowing the lawn or something. I was doing something, and she called me and started listing all the gnomes that she had and asking if I should buy them or this one. She was sending me she was texting me photos of all the gnomes. And so I ended up telling her just to buy them all.
Yeah, all of them.
So this, you know, when we did the cave one, we kind of came up with this idea that the mayor's mansion is bigger on the inside, like the Doctor's TARDIS on Doctor Who. But it was just a joke, and I just assumed that when the script came back to me, someone say, "This is too hard, let's not do this. Let's just have him sit on a bench or something." And so when I visited the set and Tink had built this enormous room full of really cool junk and like chairs made out of shopping carts, I was just like, "Oh, we gotta do this again." And then Ernie and I started breaking this, and it turned out not to be just a room. It started to be, well, what if all the cardboard boxes in Spooksville are connected? And then it all turned into this. Look at this hallway!
Yeah, that part was the wow for me, was when we saw the hallway.
Yeah.
And there's another scene later on where they open up where the mayor goes through a door, and then the door, you know, disappears. It's a camera trick, but it works really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, hats off to Emmy-nominated director James Head for this, because he had to keep all of this in his head. You know, it was like, okay, now the room is, now they're in the cardboard room, now they're in the real room, and like it would switch from shot to shot. Oh, that bit with those kids on the bikes is really cute, Katie.
Yeah, I know.
Oh man, I'm blown away that this worked. That this I'm so happy this effect worked. I'm shocked and overjoyed.
Oh, that looks so cool. I can't even get over it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I just love the scale that was able to be achieved, you know, through all the posts and once it was all cut together. It really looks like such a labyrinth and pretty massive and mysterious.
Yeah, when I was there on the set that day, and it's one of those things where it looks pretty cool, but you're kind of crossing your fingers, because when the boys jump over the abyss, it's really just like, it's probably like a 4-foot abyss covered with black duvetine, and then they add a bunch of the cardboard later. Oh, and again, hats off to Noni and the prop people for making the ultimate 1978 office.
Yeah, that was Terry Lewis and Set Deck and all those guys. Yeah, they were great. Everybody was so wonderful with details.
You know, and also just the sound department, whoever did the distorted voices between the two realms. You know, it was like just as we hoped.
That worked great.
Oh yeah, my favorite line in the piece is when Nick says. You mean you figured out the weird science before I did, and you just hear Katie's voice go, "Psych!" But it's weirdly, it was a wonderful choice not to be on her face, but just to hear it echo through time. And even though they're in deadly jeopardy, she takes the time out to, you know, to get one up on them.
And Nick's reaction is like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, there's a good bit with Nick, there's a really nice moment with Nick here, too, where Adam says, "You saved me," and he goes, "Yeah, I guess I did."
Yeah.
It's just it's such an unusual episode where we don't know what's going on, and the pieces of, and Sally is so far ahead of everybody putting the pieces of the puzzle together. It's really unusual.
She's intelligent. An intelligent person.
She's an intelligent person. And those props and the 8-tracks and everything is so great. It makes me think of, so in the script, one time I just wrote that Watch is using an overhead projector, which is what we used when I was a kid in school. And I kind of didn't realize that they don't have those overhead projectors anymore. I think they scoured all of Vancouver Island for them. And then they ended up having 15 of them in the school that they rented to be, Lizzie Borden High.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, all that stuff was stored there.
Yeah, that sounds old.
Sounds like they need to raise their taxes, maybe, and get some more stuff for the school.
Okay, so he's Mayor Bumgarden, because in the original Spooksville novels, the mayor is known as Bum. And for obvious reasons, in today's climate, we don't name anyone Bum. Although there's a nod to it in the Bigfoot episode where look, he's carrying his headshot. Frank has his own headshot in a framed. But this is the bit that Ernie was talking about, where the door is in one frame, and then in the next shot, it's just a completely different thing. Mm. Oh, I was here for shooting this too. This was pretty cool. Everything really was shaking and falling.
Mm-hmm. How fun was that to film?
Oh, that was so much fun. Mm. Oh my gosh,
that's a really classic bit.
They are really claustrophobic. They literally squished this. Like right now, our faces were pressed against both walls. Like,
this is my favorite line.
No, it's on the other side of the commercial break.
Oh, is it? Right. Okay. Sorry. That's a very heartfelt feeling, Adam. But we're going to die.
I know we're gonna die right now.
You're just so scared.
There's music in the walls. This is a nice transition too, ripping through the walls.
Yeah, it was. I like that.
I fell.
I think. This is a real. I don't know if it's really the city hall, but it's some sort of public building. I think in Duncan.
It is the actual city hall, which also the other side of it doubles as our library.
Oh yes, we also shoot the library there.
Yeah.
This is such a great moment with all the candles and Jane and I walked onto it when it was all lit, and I think we sang. Total Eclipse of the Heart. For some of your older podcast listeners, it looks like an 80s music video.
You didn't want to grab one of the candles and start swinging it around like the Sting video?
that's a nice callback. Ernie, this is all you. This whole thing of the hesitation walk where it's like, you ask him. No, you ask him. You ask him.
This is a real moment.
It really is. It's wonderful to think that they're not just like superheroes. They really are
freaked out.
Yeah, they're really freaked out.
That was freaky.
So pretty.
The mayor here, Belfry,
nice job.
Moment.
I like the detail how the mayor comes out of the couple, but then when you see it back, the young couple is still dancing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I have a feeling for some audience members, this is going to be. You know, on the trippier side of, you know, children's television.
It's trippy.
Oh, these effects worked so much better than I hoped, really. That, this here, and then when you look the other way, and then you look back, but my favorite is seeing the couple, the memories turn into dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really cute. It's actually very sad as Sally questions him. You know, you know that his memory is falling apart. And when Ernie and I were working on this, my dad, who passed away just a few months ago, was suffering from Alzheimer's, and that was sort of the inspiration for this episode. It's that your memories really become these precious commodities that. Are you're losing one by one, and so it's actually very heartbreaking to watch the mayor go through this. Hmm. And by the way, he's eating pie. I hope the audience knows he's eating pie because he says, "What is this?"
Comfort food.
Best kind. Sally's a little detective.
She's very detective-y in this, and the fact that she can put the pieces of this together are pretty remarkable.
Don't underestimate Sally.
I agree.
I like that there is just a little bit of undercurrent here of a competition between Watch and Sally about figuring things out. Oh, because he's dismissive of her at the very beginning. It's like, why don't you leave the weird science to me?
Yeah, yeah.
The mayor has such a wonderful range in this episode.
He really does. He's been a wonderful surprise, and it helps you know what he's capable of for upcoming episodes, God willing. Oh, this bit is nice too. And this is sort of like when Nick fell into Frankenstein's cave. It's the same. Right. It's just a.
we just ducked really, really fast.
Yeah, and then the mayor does this thing where he, like, goes back. He's kind of a younger, like, it's so much better than your room. It's cool.
So way more Coolsville.
Yeah, he's like a real little boy back in his own room. Except that there's the other line, which is crazy. Like, I don't like what you've done to my room.
And that one, when I'm yelling at the boys, it wasn't the boys who were reading the lines back. It was somebody else. I pretend it was the boys.
Even though I know that it's just a regular filmmaking trick, it always surprises me when you watch the dailies, when you watch just the raw footage,
you hear that other voice.
So Katie will be like acting and talking and really giving her all, and then you hear no. Don't go. So it's like literally reading from the script, like in a very monotone way to let you know what the lines are.
Oh, yes. It turned out good, though. I was surprised.
Oh, yeah. This was, hats off to the editor on this because it seems like it a real challenge to sell the fact that they're in the same location, but it's a different location.
I know.
And it really worked.
And we're watching each other while we're filming it.
Oh, you mean you stuck around and watched them shoot the boys' half?
Yeah, yeah. I was, like, right behind the camera.
Yeah, we stuck around and watched them shoot the other scenes.
Oh, you guys are good sports.
It's fun stuff.
Yeah, but the curling rink, it gets a little dark and gloomy. I have to step outside into the sun every once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. It's really hot.
This is summer, so we didn't have school, so we always stuck around and watched each other do the scenes.
And whose place is this now? Does Jane stay at this house, or...
This is a house. You have been fooled by Tink's beautiful illusion of Adam's room. Yeah, it's all Tink. That's why it takes place in his room, because we didn't have to go on location for it.
Yeah, that's on the soundstage along with the Curiosity's room and Watch's lab.
That's why in the one with the debt collector, the wishing stone, the debt collector doesn't kick in the front door because that would be somebody's real house. He kicks in the Adam's door because it's a set on the curling rink stage.
That was another fun episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Ah, sweet. That's awesome. I love this one.
His dad scene.
Yeah, this is there's some really nice moments.
And it's kind of different than this
This is my one note. Nick, Katie's arms should go lower than Nick's arms. That's my only note of this episode.
Like, when we were writing this, one of the things that Jim and I kind of liked about it was that there isn't a monster per se, but it's still, like, creepy and scary in some cases because it's a situation more than having a zombie chasing you.
And, yeah, that brings us back to the cursed town idea.
It's really starting to – I love as we get deeper and deeper into the episodes, it's actually letting us know that there's – far more depth to Spooksville and what's going on, and everything becomes more of a mystery, and this really leads up to a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Yes. Please, let us finish our mystery. That's the end of the episode, and I would just like to thank my special guests for coming, Katie.
Thanks.
And Nick.
Thank
and
you,
Tink. And and Ernie Altbacker. And I hope you enjoyed it, you guys at home, and please post what you think of the episode and make a lot of noise so people out in the real world hear about Spooksville and watch these the remaining two episodes.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jim.